Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Men who dated S workers and regretted it. What happened, and would you do it again? Story 1. I've done it twice, seriously. We live together and have a 12-year-old with one of them. She was a massage girl of that kind, you know. I later found out that she had done that kind of work off and on her whole adult life, though she quit for a few years while we were together. She started again as we broke up. I wouldn't have dated her if I had known, and many of my reasons for not wanting to be with her at the time stemmed from how she regarded intimacy. She would say things like, "I'll give you blowy if you buy me something," which I found disgusting, treating intimacy so transactionally. She didn't understand my perspective. I tried to explain that if she truly loved me, I'd give her anything she wanted just because she wanted it. Having to pay me with intimacy was gross to me. It made me wonder if she went through life like that, and she did. The second girl I dated was just getting into cam work when we started seeing each other. I was more open to this kind of thing since it had been a long time since my first girlfriend's experience as an S worker. She had started being intimate later than most, despite being incredibly beautiful. She had 5 brothers, which probably played a role. She talked big, but was actually scared and clueless when put on the spot. She loved the power of charm and had spent some time working at a club, where she learned much of the messed up behavior that makes dancers' lives chaotic and used it to create chaos in her own life. I met her on the downslope of that. This girl has an unhealthy number of lives ending around her. She denies any blame for any of them and doesn't volunteer this information. Most men would run if they knew. She and I had an intense relationship for about 3 years. In the last few months, she began telling me an elaborate story about her father, claiming they had been involved and that her family was part of some Illuminati S cult. She said she had been trained and passed around to various men her father knew, and that these were all repressed memories returning. Although I had always suspected something may have happened to her when she was young, I'm not sure. I couldn't find any evidence of it. To me, she mostly came across as a spoiled brat who chose S work out of a desire to punish her parents by embarrassing them. Maybe it was gaslighting, or maybe some memories were coming through in her dreams. I knew the girl was incredibly naive. When I met her, she was easy pickings, but she probably thought I was just the same. I'm 7 years older than her, though I don't think that automatically gives a man an advantage over a woman. When she had only ever dated guys her age or slightly younger, and then she dated a man in his mid-30s, it thoroughly blew her mind. She actually became obsessed with intimacy, and in a way, it was kind of awesome. Eventually, she wanted to see if there was something better, I guess, but she came back 3 times, so apparently not. Her leaving and returning so often took such a toll on the relationship that I became resentful for the way she had jerked me around, yet I couldn't let her go. I loved her more than any other woman I have or will love. I was angry that she messed things up and was unwilling to put in the work to fix things if it were possible, and I was angry at myself for not being able to forgive her. But I realized I couldn't let someone continue to hurt me like that. At my age, I needed to know she felt actual remorse for her actions, and I didn't feel it. She wanted her cake and to eat it too, just like the first girl I wrote about. I guess that sums it up. They treat men as disposable and use them. They are skilled at pretending to care about or love someone, but are often closer to being incapable of true care or love. They are likely to cheat because they see it as the only way to manage interactions with men. They may sleep with your friends out of spite or revenge, move on quickly, and publicly rub their new relationship in your face. They will almost always claim to be the victim in the relationship. No, I wouldn't do it again, and I would advise anyone to stay away from any type of S worker, porn actress, or anyone in that industry. At the very least, they won't be able to experience intimacy with you the way you want it. They are working, and it has nothing to do with love. They can't fix that, nor do they want to change it. They see it as an asset to perform emotionlessly or couldn't walk away from it without some type of trauma. In the end, they will leave you traumatized. Before we continue, do us a quick favor, smash that like button and subscribe to support our channel. Story 2. I dated an S worker because I made all the classic mistakes when I moved to Thailand. I saw it as her job. She didn't even meet with people very often. Mostly, she just checked in with guys around the world, chatted with them, and they sent her money. It's very common. Guys are lonely as heck, so they send her money. It was sad more than anything. The issue was that her world became measured by money, and she was basically unwilling to go out and enjoy life. Money became like an addiction. All the girls I've met in this line of work are like that. The cheating aspect doesn't even matter as much as the constant focus on cash. I am probably more open than most. It's like the ease with which people are drawn to them and fawn over them blinds them to other needs in life. It becomes a killjoy, for example. When I wanted to buy a 3DS, she thought it was stupid, and when I wanted to go into the mountains, she didn't see any value there. We broke up after a while, but she still calls me, missing what we had. Story 3. My brother dated a dancer, and it was a problematic relationship. She was hyper-aggressive and extremely jealous, constantly trying to start a fistfight with him if she thought he was looking at another woman. She was also fiercely protective of her friends and would confront him if she thought he had been disrespectful toward them. This was made worse by the fact that she always wanted to go hang out at the club to support her friends who were dancers. He couldn't even look at the unclothed women on stage because that would be considered cheating, but he also couldn't just stare at his shoes because that would be rude to her friends. Story 4. I dated a high-end worker for a few years, the kind who provides a girlfriend experience for high-profile clients, usually older married men who were lonely. It wasn't easy, but it had its moments of fun. I never fully saw myself with her. I was just in my early 20s and wanted some fun without real commitment. She, however, wanted marriage and children. We were polar opposites. She wanted to live in the city. I wanted to move out to the country. She was bougie. I was humble. She was social. I preferred quieter evenings. I was a university student and didn't have much money, so she paid for everything. The problem was that she had high tastes and standards from being flown around and spending trips in the Bahamas, the Dominican Republic, and Las Vegas. I remember one Valentine's Day when I bought her a half bouquet of roses, and one of her clients went all out with a full bouquet. I saw it when I arrived to deliver my measly half. I was always somewhat in competition with her paid boyfriends, and I mentally exited the relationship within the first several months. I often felt more like a pet than an actual partner. She thought I was naive because I still lived at home with my mother and hadn't experienced the world like she had. But I could see so much anger and anxiety in her while I was calm and collected, and I wondered who was really the immature one. Whatever the case, it's all moot now. I still care about her and talk to her, though I've expressed no desire to start a relationship again. Somewhat recently, we even tried faux dating to see if it would work again. I have a lot to thank her for, and I think she has a lot to thank me for, too. Story 5. I'm a foreign resident of Thailand, where, as you might expect, there are plenty of men in relationships with S workers. Many end up marrying them, and nearly as many end up broke and divorced. I've personally had a few long-term relationships with some of these women over the years. They can be really fun friends to party hard with, and sometimes you can develop a mutual friends with benefits arrangement, but that's usually the extent of it. There are thousands of sad stories online about Western men who married Thai dancers. These women can spot these men a mile away and they know exactly how to push their buttons. There's a reason these men are called walking ATMs. I have an American friend who is new to Thailand and quickly got deeply involved in the pay-for-play scene. He regularly asks me for advice on how to deal with these women, which he routinely ignores. He once told me he was thinking of marrying a girl less than half his age, whom he met in a go-go bar. I asked him, "Would you marry a dancer in the USA?" He replied, "Heck no, but this girl is different. She really loves me, and I really love her. Our case is totally different from all those other guys. Besides, I'm going to turn her life around and clean her up, and my family will never know." Luckily for him, she was still secretly seeing clients, and she eventually gave him an STD, so he ended it. He has been dating a massage girl for the past year. He's a smart guy, but not when it comes to Thai dancers. Story 6. I dated a couple whose primary job when I met them was being sugar babies to pay their rent. The problem wasn't their job, it was the black hole for attention they carried with them. They stopped the sugar baby work about a year into our relationship. It was embarrassing to bring them out in public or around friends because they had to be the center of attention in every room. This also made them extremely snobby about employment, either refusing jobs because they were beneath them or acting out until they got fired. Collectively, they lost 5 jobs in 2 years just for not showing up or fighting with management. Probably not again, because in my experience, people like that struggle to have actual relationships. Those two had a massive web of lies simply to get one over on someone. You will always end up being a bank for many of them, because stepping on another person is nothing to them. Love isn't something you can sell, but there are plenty of snake oil salesmen hawking alternatives that can almost seem real. Story 7. I'm dating a cam girl at the moment. I've spent so much time around dancers and cam girls that I'm not surprised I ended up with one. It has its challenges. When you date someone whose looks generate income, there are a lot of men who are interested in her. Plus, she has to keep our relationship off her social media, or it could negatively affect her work. The hardest challenge is managing jealousy. I spoil my girlfriend, but I'm not spending as much as her top client. Sometimes she'll ask for something, I'll say no, and one of her clients will buy it. The dynamics around gifts have completely changed. It comes down to how secure you are in your relationship and how much you care about the person. For me, her family and friends know me and know that we are dating, and that is the minimum acknowledgement I needed. Also, if you are dating a cam girl or a dancer, accept who she is. Don't expect her to change just because you started dating. You knew who she was beforehand. So don't be upset if she wants to wear revealing clothing when you go out. You have to accept her reality as it is and make peace.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's with it. Story 8. Before I got married, I dated a woman who was an S worker, and it was odd at first. Then it became normal for us. We went on a date, and during the conversation, she asked what I did for a living. When I asked her the same, she didn't want to answer. She just said some people wouldn't approve of it. In my head, I assumed she might work at an abortion clinic or something, since I work in the medical field. After a few dates, she finally told me one night, "So you know how you asked what I did?" "Yeah." "Well, I have to go to work tonight. Sorry it was last minute." I thought, okay, maybe she is a dancer or something, not for me to judge. Then she told me she was an S worker. At first, I was a little shocked. I had never knowingly met or dated a worker before. I said, "Well, have fun at work tonight," and awkwardly laughed. The next day, she called and said she understood if it was too much for me. That's why she hadn't said anything at first, because people judge her instantly. I told her that if we were going to date, she just needed to be honest about it. Would some things upset me? Sure. Would I feel a little jealous deep down? Yes, but it worked out. We dated for about a year and a half. When I asked her how work was, she would answer honestly. That is what I appreciated about her. She would say, "This guy was good. This guy was pushy." Others just wanted the experience of being with someone who already knew how the night would end. She said that about 80% of her clients were married men who still loved their wives, but just wanted something different and without attachment. She helped me overcome a lot of insecurities because we always had open dialogue. We eventually split up because she had to move back across the country to care for her sick mother, and I was relocating for my job. There were never any hard feelings. I think it can work for people if you accept them for who they are. That was how she made her money, and I was okay with it. Story 9. I met a girl who seemed just like anyone else, and I quickly discovered that she was a dancer and had done paid S work in the past. I never made it a mission or anything, just dating as you normally would. I also learned that she had a serious substance habit, and that became where my energy was focused. We got her into rehab twice. The second time, she broke out of the facility and took a young girl with her, so her behavior was self-destructive. She would cycle between her habit and what seemed like a sincere desire to get clean. After about a year of this, I had to accept that I was probably enabling her with my support and being used. It was tough. She was an altogether amazing person. There was a kindness about her that made her mistakes easy to forgive. The dancing was never really the issue. In hindsight, it was part of her access to cash and drugs, which I suppose isn't surprising. I was young and romanticized the idea that I could be enough for her to get better. I wasn't. Powder was a far more attractive choice. I distanced myself. It was fair to say we remained friends, but the chaos surrounding her was unsustainable. About 6 months later, I got a phone call from her boyfriend asking me to come to her flat to help her. I did. She passed away in the bath. I performed CPR until the ambulance arrived. She had been high on powder, which caused her main heart valve to rupture. I went to her funeral. There were seven of us, including the staff from the funeral home. Her mother approached me, and we spoke. She thanked me for being the first person she knew, besides herself, who had been there for her daughter without expecting anything in return. I was surprised. I didn't feel I had done anything special. Her mother went on to say that she could tell when her daughter spent time with me because she was happier and seemed full of life again, exactly how I always experienced her. She thanked me again and admitted that she had secretly wished we had stayed together because I was good for her. I think about her often. She was a beautiful girl on the inside, too. Story 10. I've dated two S-workers. One was a lovely and confident person. Around the third date, after she insisted on paying for everything, I realized she might earn more than the average car insurance salesperson she had introduced herself as. I asked her calmly over breakfast if she had other income, and she was honest, open, and unapologetic, which I really appreciated. We discussed whether she wanted to talk about her work, and she clearly stated that sometimes she would like to, and sometimes not. We got along really well for 2 to 3 months before things faded, but I have nothing but fond memories. She even taught me how to cook authentic Italian meatballs. The other one was an absolutely beautiful person who made me feel attractive and wanted after I had just come out of an awful relationship. When I met her, she had already planned to move overseas, and she followed through. We still stay in regular contact to this day. I'm now in a long-term relationship, have children, and a new life. But I look back on those two people with nothing but respect and happiness because of how they treated me. I think if you are honest with yourself first and foremost about what you can handle, and also honest with the other person, it can work and be a positive experience. But you have to put in the same effort you would with any relationship. Story 11. I dated a porn star for a while who was quite well known in my country. I knew her from before she entered the industry, and we liked each other, meeting again a few years later. I didn't know she was in the industry at first, but she told me eventually. Being young, I thought it would be fun. It became a bit more than that. She was generally respectful. She wouldn't see me on days she had done a scene with a man, and she always shared her test results with me, as we were often intimate. If she did see me, it would usually be for a drink or dinner, and then she'd go home for the night. She took me to parties with her friends and was never afraid to introduce me to people, and vice versa. It was fun, and she was lovely, but it was often drug-fueled, which is huge in the industry and wasn't my thing. So it kind of burnt out. She's retired now and is apparently doing well in another business, which makes me happy. Story 12. I married an S worker, whom I met at her workplace. I had come out of a collapsed relationship and sometime later craved intimate human contact. I visited a legal club a couple of suburbs away from my home. I didn't expect to meet someone I would really connect with. Until that time, I would probably have been in the majority who said they wouldn't date an S worker. I was very wary that this might be a fake intimacy experience, and not real. I saw her a couple of times and felt a connection beyond just sleeping together. I saw a few other girls as well, but felt nothing beyond a pleasant physical experience. I wouldn't have considered giving her my number because I didn't think that was appropriate when paying for an intimate experience at her workplace. However, she felt the same way and offered me her number. I wondered if she was looking for money or some sort of extortion, but I thought we could just chat. We talked for months before I asked if she wanted to catch up. It was just a normal getting-to-know-you conversation, talking about life. We went on some dates, discovered that the connection was real, and 6 years later, we are a happily married couple, still enjoying each day together. She is a lovely person, and I am glad I met her. Story 13. As a below-average-looking person, I'd always be conscious of the fact that my partner could probably get any guy she wants, and if she were ever in corn, has probably worked with men who are much more gifted than me in terms of their looks, their size, and their skill. So I'd spend the whole time wondering why she's even with me in the first place. Is she even as attracted to me as I am to her? Is she only with me for financial security? I'd also always be conscious of the fact that while she could, and probably does if she's still in the industry, sleep with any man she wants to while she's in a relationship with me, I'd never be able to do the same with other women. So I'd be the lucky one who should be grateful to get any intimacy from her at all. While she could be with anyone she wants because she's attractive, and attracting a partner is easy for her. I think that a woman who is or was in the industry should date men who are or were also in the industry. I've noticed that most porn stars who get married marry male porn stars. Story 14. I dated one for about 6 months. While her work played a role in why we broke up, it was mainly me being an idiot and irresponsible with her feelings. Partly, I assumed she was tougher than she really was because of her work, but mostly, it was just me being an idiot. I would date an S worker again in a heartbeat. She was so much fun, had plenty of money, and didn't have to work traditional hours, which worked perfectly for me as a hospice/muso. The main downside for me was that while you might expect an S worker to be wild in every way, she was actually quite conservative in certain areas, especially around gender roles, with little rhyme or reason. Writing it out now, I can see a lot of that was probably her compartmentalizing. Sure, there were problems, but no more than in any other relationship I've had. I'm very open-minded about polyamory, and sleeping with other people bothers me less than intimacy, so her work wasn't a threat. Honestly, normal 9-to-5 jobs have caused more conflict in my relationships than her work ever did. Story 15. I dated a dancer for around 1 year. It was a great relationship. I was supportive of her job and encouraged her to explore other interests she showed. She was confident and independent, qualities I had not experienced in previous relationships. Our conversations were wonderful, and our banter was amazing. Many people who saw us together thought we had been a couple for a long time. They often said they could feel our chemistry. Some of my fondest, most cherished memories are with her. At the time, I did not know what was happening because she hid it from me. A few of her fellow dancers introduced her to some hard powder, which greatly affected our relationship and eventually led to our breakup. The last time I saw her here, she was struggling with addiction. That hurt me more than anything I have ever experienced. After letting her sleep at my place and shower, she left. I have cried for myself and I have cried because of others. That was the only time I have cried for someone else. It was a beautiful relationship with a beautiful person, now utterly destroyed by drugs. It changed my entire view on addiction, a truly sobering experience. I tried to help by providing a safe space for her to rest and shower, getting her some food and gas, paying her phone bill twice, and driving her to court a few times. I always encouraged her that she needed help, but she refused and did not want to help herself. One time, while taking her to pick up some belongings from her mom's house, I had to call an ambulance. She was experiencing some sort of psychosis, claiming she saw things and that they spoke to her. While in the ER, she lied to the doctors. That was one of the longest days of my life. I have had to distance myself from her because while I provided help, she refused to help herself, and I began to feel used. I want her to get better and stay clean more than anything. I remember the time we had together fondly, and I look up her name every few months to make sure she hasn't passed away. Story 16. I worked the door at a well-known Los Angeles club and dated one of the dancers for some time. She was a really talented trained dancer, but there's no real way to make money doing ballet. She was extremely down-to-earth and broke almost every stereotype people have about dancers, except for the powder, which was fun at first, but quickly became exhausting. We both had the same late-night schedule, which worked out well for us. When we broke up, we stayed cordial and on good terms. S workers are just people, and all labor can feel degrading. I fought drunks and got into stressful arguments for a living. She danced on a stage. I'd rather dance personally. Story 17. I used to date an S worker about 15 years ago, sometime between 2005 and 2007. We met somewhat through work. I had flirted with the idea of booking a girl for some time, out of curiosity and because I didn't have a girlfriend at the time and felt none were compatible with me. I had one agency in mind and regularly checked their homepage, eventually emailing them with a few questions. The girl who responded was nice and overall great. After some back and forth, I booked a date with a young girl, just a 2-hour date to go out and eat, because I still didn't have the courage to go full on with paid intimacy. Saturday came, and they contacted me early to say that the girl I booked was sick, so we either had to cancel or find a substitute. I opted for a substitute and named a woman I had on my mind, even though she was 10 years older. In my mid-20s, I thought 10 years didn't matter. I met with this woman and had a great time, a truly lovely evening. Afterwards, I thought a lot about what I had done, spending money for company, whether something was wrong with me, whether I would ever get out of this, whether I could ever date someone else, or experience love outside of paying for it. However, I really enjoyed her company. The age gap didn't bother me. About 2 weeks later, I decided to book again. We spent another great 3 hours together, talked about a lot, and laughed. It was an overall fine experience. When we said our goodbyes, she thanked me for the evening. A few months later, I went to a car show with my buddy. And there she was, working as a hostess, standing next to the cars to pose for photos and hand out promotional material. She, in her mid-30s, looked great among all the early and mid-20s girls. I recognized her, nodded, and went on my way. A bit later, we passed the booth again, and she wasn't there. I found out she was on a break near a food truck. She had just eaten and still had a couple of minutes, so she waved at me, smiled, and said hi. We talked a bit, and by the end, she asked if I would stay until the car show ended. I said yes, and she replied, cool, so I'll see you then. Afterwards, we went to a bar, talked some more, bought each other drinks, and by the time we parted ways, we had exchanged phone numbers. We stayed in touch almost daily, chatting and exchanging thoughts. Every now and then, we would meet, visiting the zoo, going for hikes, and just getting to know each other. Her work did come up at some point. She asked me what I thought about it and about her. I told her I didn't mind it so much. It was a job that earned her good money, allowed her to work a regular office job only a few hours a day, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and still gave her enough to afford a nice place, a car, nice clothing, and occasionally expensive items like Dior sunglasses or Chanel handbags. It was afterwards, she was kind of into me, and I was into her. I flat out told her that if we saw each other more, I'd consider us dating. She was okay with that, wanted to take the next step, and kissed me right then and there. We were a couple for over a year until I went through a phase of questioning myself, thinking about the age difference, and considering younger women. I did her wrong. She made no mistake. I think I was just overwhelmed at 25, still a dumb kid with an adult 35-year-old woman by my side who actually liked me. In retrospect, I don't know if the 39-year-old version of me would still be in a relationship with a 49-year-old, or if we would have had kids. Maybe we would have. Maybe we wouldn't. I also don't know what would have happened if she couldn't work her side job as an S worker anymore, either because she wouldn't get booked due to her age, or because she decided to quit herself. Her job did come up while we were together, but we cleared it quickly. She would take those jobs after checking with me, as if I had anything planned for Friday night. If I or we had plans, she'd say no. If not, she'd take it and make money. She made less money because she did fewer dates for my sake, but she still covered her bills, just fewer fancy clothes and expensive accessories. Yes, it was good in bed. She knew what she was doing, and I knew how to get her going. Though I have that with my wife now too, so she wasn't the best or anything. That still involved all the physical intimacy, but it was more passionate. Story 18. I dated a dancer for a short time. Early in the relationship, everything was great. I wasn't much of a party or club person, but I didn't see that as a problem. As we got closer though, it just didn't work out. She wanted me to visit her at work frequently and hang out with her coworkers, which wasn't my scene. Story 19. I dated a dancer named Crystal. She had an amazing tattoo, a colorful dragon that ran up her back and over her shoulder, with the head just above her left chest, breathing fire down her body. The best part was that the flames were done with blacklight ink, so when she danced, they glowed orange and red. That was the upside. The downside was that she was absolutely insane. She even tried to burn my apartment down when she thought I was cheating, which I never did. Our relationship ended when she went to jail for 3 months, and I moved out of town. Story 20. I have been dating an S worker for a few months now. We met the usual way. I visited her a few times, and it didn't take long to see that we were interested in each other. She is the most wonderful person I have met in the last few years, caring, joyful, and a pleasant presence. She lights up every room she enters. However, the years in the industry have taken a toll. She has difficulties with real intimacy and finds it very hard to let her guard down. As for money, we both earn our own and keep it that way. Hers is hers and mine is mine. I was also a guest before, so I have no right to tell her what to do. I know for a fact that this is not her favorite type of work, so I try to encourage her to explore alternatives. She has even started studying recently. Jealousy was never a problem for me, but I have a harder time seeing how she gets disrespected by her clients sometimes. Work can be very stressful for her, and it's not her clients but me who has to deal with the aftermath. It is very different from a normal relationship and not easy for either side. So would I do it again? Maybe not, but she is definitely worth it. Story 21. One day, I was in a bar where you could write messages to people at other tables, and waitresses would deliver them. It was called The Post, and it was before cell phones were common. I saw a girl dressed very provocatively and started writing to her. We ended up sitting together and having a good time. After that, we became essentially FWB. Without cell phones, I had to call her home, where a man usually picked up the phone and called her by another name. You could tell by the way she spoke that she had been poor or poorly educated, but she always had cash. I was in college and always broke, and she would pay for the motel and sometimes for my cab. I never got to meet anyone from her circle except the girl she was with at the Post. The only thing we did was sleep together. We even met at motel doors. I shared a car with my mom and she didn't drive, so we usually took taxis, met, got laid, and left. After literally years of that, I started dating someone else and lost contact with her. One day, I was on the subway and saw her friend. I approached her and asked about my ex-lover. She replied, "I lost contact with that wuss. They had had some beef." Her friend then said, "We used to wonder how you never realized she was an S worker." I was livid and skeptical. So her friend added, "She is also a corn star. Look for this name in your video store," her friend said. I did the next morning, and she was actually very prolific, with easily a dozen movies under her belt. After that, everything fell into place, and I had around 10 oh moments. I felt sadness for her immediately and never really recovered from that. I had thought she was very independent and saw me as a hookup buddy, but I realized she was probably interested in me and simply didn't know how to have a healthy relationship with a man. 30 years later, I truly hope she is doing well. Story 22. I have dated and been cheated on before, which is never fun. She wasn't an S-worker, but it was an unhealthy relationship, and I didn't realize how toxic it was until we broke up. The same would apply to any obviously one-sided relationship, where there wasn't much love involved, and it was more about power. I cannot stand that kind of dynamic. As for just showing a little skin or being slightly flirty with others, I wouldn't think much of it unless obvious signs of cheating started to appear. That can be an easy breaking point for many relationships, especially if insufficient effort is made to separate work relationships from personal life. On one hand, I have heard the argument, she chose you, and while that is true, it is still very difficult for anyone to hear that their partner or spouse is sleeping with other people. Unless you are polyamorous or extremely open-minded, that situation is likely to create strain. I think for most people, the difficulty comes down to two major issues. First, there is a feeling of loneliness, knowing that your partner could be sleeping with someone else while you deeply miss them. Second, there is the possibility that they will be out with a client during a crisis in your own life. People are usually more willing to confide in a partner or close friend during extremely dire situations. While it is true that they could simply cancel the client for the night, if the situation is significant enough, it could result in someone getting hurt. I like to think I have a unique perspective on this situation because I am far more open-minded than many people might be. I have no problem with people doing this kind of work if it makes them happy, but some downsides will inevitably arise. Story 23. If by date you mean going out for drinks or dancing for the night and hooking up, then yes, I have done that with a dancer. But nothing long-term like a girlfriend or beyond that, a fiancé or wife for a few reasons. For me, the reasoning is this. If intimacy is open for the world to enjoy, what makes it special for us? It's hard to put into words, but it just feels like, what's the point? For everything else, companionship, caring for each other, conversations, sharing meals, I can already do that with friends. I guess what I'm saying is that seeing the person you love unclothed and enjoying each other's bodies is a privilege that should be exclusive to the two people dating. Forking also comes with several dangers. I'm not willing to introduce into my life. Substance use is common in that profession. Beyond the risk of STDs, having to worry about violent clients is a major factor. If you're dating, I imagine you care about the person and would be anxious when they're out on calls. Who has room for that kind of stress on top of all the other worries of day-to-day life? Finally, my family would never accept it. I know that today a growing number of people don't care what their families think, but for many of us, it is often the only support structure left in the world. They would never be okay with me bringing a sesh worker girlfriend home. It would bring dishonor to our lineage, as they would view this person as unfit to be a wife or mother. I believe that in our culture there may be some leniency if the person was a dancer in the past, but definitely not a corn star or S worker. Story 24. I would prefer not to date S workers. I'm not saying I wouldn't, but it would count as a mark against a prospective relationship. The things I value most in relationships are low drama, ambition to succeed, and a curious mindset with a positive outlook on the world. Intimacy itself is not particularly important to me as a source of pleasure. I see it as a crucial part of forming deep bonds in an intimate relationship. My long-term goals include finding a woman to be my partner and the mother of my children. In my experience, people's history influences their thought process. Ideally, I would settle down with a scientist or a mathematician. In my observations, many S workers struggle with deep issues related to childhood trauma, addiction, and so on, carrying more baggage than I am willing to take on. However, if there is a woman who has done S work but is honest, loyal, stable, and embodies the traits I value, I can easily overlook her past. Story 25. I've dated a cam girl who was a former dancer. I think I'd have a harder time with people who are full-service S workers because of the relative proximity of their clients, the irregular working hours, and the amount of emotional labor that they have to give out. I already work a lot of hours, so having someone work mostly at night could cause problems. I dated a woman who was a sound engineer for music gigs, and it caused a lot of problems because she worked nights and weekends, so I never really saw her. The proximity of clients to me is an issue because some jerks are dangerous. It's not really her fault, but the idea of someone knowing what vehicle you're arriving in, at what time, and at what location to a relatively isolated place scares me. I know a few dancers who've been offed, so that's a scary prospect. If they're also doing a girlfriend experience type thing, that'd be difficult just because of the amount of emotional labor they'd be doing for other people. A psychiatrist is properly trained for this kind of thing, but I'd say no because it'd blur the lines between relationship and source of income. I don't really care so much about the past, though. I've occasionally dated white women before, and you'd actually be shocked by the number of white dudes who say they wouldn't date a woman who's been with a black man before, and I don't think that's a fair thing to care about. Story 26. My ex of 2.5 years danced and did full service. It's a job like any other, but I'm into body confidence and non-monogamy already. I have an alternative community that is as well, so there was less judgment from my social circles. I'd say if you're not versed in those worlds, you'd have a lot to learn. The jealousy was the easiest thing to get over, and it really helped me in future non-monogamous relationships. Sleeping is just sleeping, and when it's work, it really is just work. If you're giving your girl a good time, you have nothing to worry about. The hardest thing was being worried about her safety and mental health. She'd have bad experiences at work, and I'd feel so powerless to help. It was really hard to just listen and support, and not say something patronizing. I learned a lot from her, and I'm very grateful for the experience. We're still friends, and she's no longer doing C work and has started her own business. I'm really happy for her, and proud to know someone who's overcome so much, and totally supports herself and her family. It's amazing. Story 27. I dated an S worker, and she was absolutely insane, narcissistic, and somewhat sociopathic. It was a low point in my life, and I was living out of a hostel. On my very first night there, with no money and knowing no one in town, I was messing around at the pool table. That's when this 4'11" girl, drunk as heck, came over and started playing with me. I've never really sought out relationships, and am usually happy on my own. She asked if I wanted to go into town for a drink. Since I had no money, I told her, and she offered to pay. That first night out, she told me what she did, and spent cash like it was water. We hooked up while drunk, and headed back to the hostel, where the curfew meant we had to stay in separate rooms. Over the next few months, we were together, but it quickly became clear she had no remorse or empathy. Once she started drinking, she couldn't stop, and reasoning was useless. She was a binge drinker rather than a daily drinker. I would get sick of her when she was drunk, so sometimes I just refused to go out, thinking she might stay in, but she would disappear for days and always come back saying sorry. After about a year of this, during which I probably tolerated it because she was bringing in money, we were still living in a hostel. I eventually got a flat and asked her to move in. I genuinely wanted to help her get out of that industry, find a regular job, and cut back on drinking. We moved in and talked about making changes. We agreed she would work for a bit while we furnished the flat, which she did, but binge drinking still dominated her life. At this point, I was even working for the club as the IT guy, taking pictures of the girls for the website and creating the whole site. A strange situation, knowing my partner was actively working in another room. But nothing ever changed. When she was drunk, she could be nasty and threatening, she would get knives, and I was scared to sleep. She was unreliable and showed no remorse or guilt. One time, I was having surgery under general anesthesia and needed someone to escort me home. I said, "Please don't go to the pub, as you might not come back." She flipped out at my audacity. Even though out of the last 1,000 outings, this was the only time it happened. Surgery ended, and she was nowhere to be found and unreachable. I came back the next day, moody, and she was angry at me. This pattern continued for another couple of years. We moved back to my hometown together, and she got a regular job, but managed to mess it up through partying. I decided to end it, but let her stay until she found her own place. I wasn't completely blameless either. I would hang out with the boys, come back, say dumb things to get some action, and then be cold the next day. One day, after my brother's birthday, I came back to find another girl in my bed. It was pretty rude, but they didn't mind if I joined in. Still, a three-way didn't make up for years of terrible behavior. At first, I was with her for the money, and later on, I became less attentive, getting absorbed in my own hobbies. That said, she had literally no emotion or empathy. Story 28. It boils down to something very simple. For me, romance and affection beyond flirtation are deeply intimate, meant to be shared only between the people involved. It's like looking under the hood, revealing your innermost self to another person, and hoping they do the same in return. When someone uses that intimacy for financial gain, potentially displaying it to hundreds of people, the way they view it can change or may already be different from my own perspective. What was once private and unique becomes public. The intimacy no longer feels special. Some might argue that sexuality in the industry has two sides, which is valid, but personally, I no longer feel confident in it. In short, trust is gone. Because I see intimacy as an essential and frequent part of a relationship, I would soon realize I was no longer receiving something I consider fundamental to sharing life with someone I love. That in turn would likely lead to emotional turmoil and the eventual breakdown of the relationship. I should clarify that I have no fundamental problem with the industry or those involved in it. What an individual chooses to do with their own life is entirely their choice. It simply means that I would not choose to enter a romantic relationship with them. This doesn't make them a bad person. It only indicates that we hold different interpersonal values. In fact, I maintain platonic relationships of sorts with at least three women who have worked in the industry. They're all excellent people, and I would be lying if I said I wasn't physically attracted to at least one of them. There is, however, a difference between being physically attracted to someone or even being open to an intimate encounter and being willing to pursue a relationship with them. Story 29. I'm currently dating a dancer. We've been together a little over a year. She started dancing as a backup income source after we met. I've been polyamorous before, so I have a handle on jealousy, which does flare up occasionally. Hanging out with her dancer friends can be a lot of fun. They know how to party, often share grass, and most can hold an interesting conversation. After all, that's a skill that earns them money in the club. She also tests a lot of her new lingerie and moves with me, which is a lot of fun. One of the biggest bonuses, though, is how understanding she is as a person. I live an unconventional life and am processing past trauma from other relationships. Through all of that, she is consistently helpful and attentive. I think allowing each other space to be our weird alternative selves gives us the ability to be fully present and supportive in each other's unusual scenarios. Story 30. I dated a dancer and an S worker until COVID hit. My experience was that she dealt with situations I couldn't even imagine every single day. I was a freshman in college when a man brought a photo of her family's home to the club. Her mother lived on the West Coast while she worked in Manhattan. He had stalked her so intensely that he flew all the way to Oregon. She was 18 years old and he was in his 30s. What? Was I supposed to judge her? I had my own regrettable experiences in college and afterwards, but is it worse because she did it for money? She had no education and no support from a difficult family situation. She took care of her family and kicked incredible amounts of butt. I have as much respect for her as I do for the ex who excelled through law school at the top of everything. Life can be a hard place. Sometimes just surviving is enough to be impressive. Story 31. I've been with my husband for almost 5 years. Since I met him, I noticed little signs that he was contacting S workers. He denied it at first, then eventually admitted he was only texting them. 3 weeks ago, he was caught during an undercover sting. He made it to the fifth floor and outside the door of the alleged S worker. I'm sure it was shocking for him to see five police officers come out of the room and handcuff him. He couldn't deny it any longer, but insisted this was the first time he had gone that far. I bailed him out of jail, and when given his property, discovered he had a secret burner phone for his habit, a fake Facebook account to add S workers, and no protection with his belongings. It was all so bizarre. It felt like he was a total stranger to me. I think my husband has become a compulsive liar. I'm actually open to him seeing other people if he isn't satisfied with me or needs more, and he knows this. The problem isn't that I struggle with the secrets and dishonesty. We share a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old, and I'm currently 37 weeks pregnant. I'm almost completely reliant on him. At this stage in my pregnancy, I can barely move, and even if I could, I have nowhere to go. It's hard not to let my hormones push me into doing something impulsive, but I find myself kind of hating him now. I don't think I can ever trust him again, and I feel that he isn't truly sorry for what he did, only sorry that he got caught. I fully expect him to continue this behavior. Story 32. There's a clear tier list for in-person S workers. The low tier is the one that skates off good looks without investing in it when they inevitably leave the industry. They say they do it because they like it, but they grow to hate it as they get older and reality sets in. The next tier is people who planned it to be temporary from the start. Maybe they needed to pay for college or a family medical bill, but it was always a temporary solution for a temporary problem rather than viewed as a viable career to keep the bills paid. These people are normally ashamed of it, so they lie and say they were bartending instead. Those last two are normally found in smaller towns, but the next tier is surprisingly common in large cities. These are people, mostly girls at this point, male dancers don't normally exist at this tier, who have the credentials or experience to do another equally lucrative job but place a high value on expressing themselves. I once read an interesting article by a former agent about how the girls who make the most money are not necessarily the prettiest but the best at conversation because any semblance of emotional intimacy is what brings in repeat customers. They've probably talked multiple regulars out of ending their lives, convinced more men to fix their marriage than break it, and the surplus money they make is carefully invested for retirement. The final tier is like the third tier, but she's studied her way to psychology credentials. Not to escape S work, but to fully capitalize on her ability to recognize the different emotional needs of different customers to get them to become regulars while also satisfying their deprived state of intimacy. Personally, I could see myself dating anyone in the last two tiers. I've spent a lot more time reading about S-workers than interacting with them. I briefly dated one that was in the bartender category, but it fizzled out before I found out her actual job. This is how I view the job from the outside, and I feel like that was the point of this. Thank you for watching. If you enjoyed this video, be sure to give it a thumbs up, subscribe, and hit the bell icon so you never miss an update.